Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, you might be one of the 165,000 people using the M50 daily, and right now you could be sitting in gridlock wondering when you might be getting through your front door after a long, hard day at work. Well, Transport Infrastructure Ireland has said that the M50 has now reached maximum capacity, in its words, beyond Celtic Tiger numbers, and that any potential solutions must come from government. Well, for more on this now, we're joined by Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Geraldine, good evening to you.
Good evening, Colm.
165,000 people on the M50 daily, slightly more northbound than southside. And looking at southbound, should I say, looking at the stats in an overall way, what does that tell us about driver movement and behaviour?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key thing with the M50 at the moment is just that peak time has just become extended. It's no longer sort of an hour and a half. It extends much longer in the morning. It extends well into the evening now, starting at around 3:30. So, you know, it is, I suppose, generally a car park a lot of the times. Interesting stats that came out from the TII also were about, I mean, it's no surprise it's the busiest, but it's also the most incident-prone motorway. We have a number of incidents happening every day. These are obviously causing issues as well in terms of congestion. It's harder to manage them. It's harder to deal with them. So overall, it's not a good picture for commuters at the moment.
Okay. And from January to October last year, there were more crashes on the M50 than in the whole of 2024. So with increased traffic volumes, the situation is getting worse with incidents.
Yeah, it is simply just in line with the number of people using the M50. I mean, it could actually be worse when you look at the actual numbers. So, I mean, generally what you're seeing is just that trend is set to continue. There's no reason to see why it's not going to. And as I said, dealing with these incidents is also causing problems. And obviously, you know, it doesn't take an awful lot to cause chaos on the M50. And looking at some of the stats that came out today, there's all sorts of things like pedestrians on the M50, animals, you know, people rubbernecking, looking at other instance. So there's a lot of like human input here that is just adding to the issues, apart from the fact that at this stage there's just too many cars on the M50.
Yeah. Is there an argument for putting up a higher barrier between either side of the M50 to cut down on rubbernecking? Because it is one of those things that when you actually reach the scene of a collision, you find that there's nothing really blocking traffic on one side. It's just people rubbernecking over on the other side.
I wonder, would you actually stop it now? How would it actually call them? I mean, you'd wonder, is there not just an awareness campaign that can be done, or is it just something that's in our human psyche that just makes us want to look and see what's happening across the road? But definitely it does cause huge amounts of collisions or huge amount of congestion because of collisions on the other side of the road.
And what about driver behaviour, chopping and changing lanes, you know, people, the speed at which they're driving, how much attention is really paid to the advised speed that you see on the gantries over the M50, and I suppose generally moderating driver behaviour?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues around driver behaviour, to be honest, Colm. I mean, there's the fact that there's more instances in the rush hour in the evening than in the morning. That would suggest distraction, tiredness, fatigue is taking over there. And just that, you know, that ability that you just want to switch off, that maybe, you know, people are using their phone maybe possibly more in the evening than they would be in the morning, and they're just more awake and more tolerant maybe in the morning. There is that thing as well about lane changing and rear-ending. Again, 38% of collisions are off-peak. That would suggest that when there's higher speeds, so when you finally get on the M50 and can actually move and you're not stuck going bumper to bumper, people then go maybe at a higher speed than they should be doing, and that causes problems. So a lot of it is, there's no doubt about it, there's human error. The other thing is what you were mentioning about the variable speed limits. I mean, they're actually brought in, and there's a science behind them about slowing the traffic down and just kind of moving it more freely. But I'm not convinced. I mean, the TII say they are working. It's very hard to actually get any evidence to suggest that. And certainly when you're on the M50, very few people, when they do put up maybe an 80 kilometre speed limit because of an incident, you know, in the road ahead, very few people actually obey that limit. And I'm not sure it's particularly well enforced. So there are things that could be done. But I mean, we're down to demand management at this stage. There are no more engineering fixes.
Yeah, there's a second story is not going to be added, and they've run out of space to widen the road.
Yeah, so essentially you're looking at two things. There's too many people using the M50. So you can do one of two things. You can either bring in what they were talking about, that distance-based tolling. The impact of that would be that a lot of people would obviously think twice about using the M50 if it was going to cost them more money. And there are, I think, up to 60% of cars who use the M50 do not pay the toll. So they manage to avoid it at various different things. The problem with that, Colm, is where do those cars go? Those people don't automatically find a new solution. They just displace the volume of cars elsewhere. So that's not really going to solve a problem. It might temporarily solve a problem on the M50, but it won't solve congestion. The other thing then is to offer people alternatives. Again, I mean, that goes down to public transport investment and housing, and that is not a quick fix. So it's pretty grim for commuters at the moment.
Okay, we've a message in here. Drivers in the M50, N7, M7 using the middle lane while the inside lane is empty are the cause of many accidents, this texter says, with no guard the checks.
Yeah,
I don't know whether that could be
again
enforced, could it?
Well, I mean, it also goes down to the fact of people don't learn how to use a motorway. And there's huge questions about that. And I know they're talking about bringing it into the driving test. But as it stands, nobody in Ireland has actually been trained to use a motorway. We do the test, you pass the test, and all of a sudden then you're allowed on the motorway. You've never done a lesson on one and you've never had any instruction on one. And whether or not the lane management could be more effective if people learned how to use them properly, you know, I mean, there is a case to be made about actually just learning how to use it properly.
Yeah, there's a kind of a bit of I wouldn't be caught dead in the slow lane type attitude. We're also joined by Ger Hyland, president of the Irish Road Haulage Association. Ger, a lot of livelihoods, a lot of supply chains dependent on this arterial route around Dublin. So when you read over the statistics on the number of collisions in 2024 that went up in 2025, do they come as a surprise to you?
They don't come as a surprise to us at all with the extra traffic on the M50. The city centre in Dublin was closed to through traffic, so traffic coming in around Houston Station and down that side are now being pushed back out onto the M50. All that's adding to congestion on the M50, it's adding to accidents. The driving behaviour on the M50 that we're seeing is absolutely outrageous. We see people on their phones. We see people putting on makeup. We see people on laptops driving along on the M50, especially in the mornings when the whole thing is chock-a-block, and that's why you get so many rear endings.
And Ger, do you remember there was a story doing the rounds a couple of years ago about a truck for traffic enforcement that would drive around looking down for people who were breaking those kind of rules that you've just outlined, phone use and everything else. Was that ever implemented and did it ever have any effect, do you know? And I appreciate you didn't run it, but did you ever come across it?
The RSA run it, yeah. The RSA invested in a truck for that. We're not seeing huge results from it, to be honest with you. Probably down to, I won't say a lack of enforcement, but maybe a lack of manpower.
And the congestion on the M50 resulting from the sheer volume of traffic, as we said, 165,000 daily users on the M50, the congestion that's caused by that, could you put a cost on it?
Well, we estimate that for every hour one of our articulated trucks are standing up, it's costing us €100. By lack of productivity, drivers' wages, so forth and so on. And the biggest problem we have is the hours that our drivers can work on any given day. And we come out onto the M50 coming out from Dublin Port anywhere after 3 o'clock in the evening. We honestly do not know how long it's going to take us to get to Nice. It can take us an hour and a half. It can take us 3 hours. There is nowhere for our drivers to pull in to take a break along the M50. If they're running out of hours, there is nowhere for our drivers to pull in and take a break. We're down 30% in productivity using that Nace road and M50 in a 2-year period. And not alone that, we've 30% extra costs on top of us as well between fuel and M50 tolls and so forth and so on.
All right. Back on the collisions, Ger, Brian has texted in saying the biggest cause of incidents on the M50 is people driving too close to the vehicle in front. This is never policed. Is it an offence? Is it against the law to drive too close to someone? How would it be policed?
I honestly don't know how it would be policed, but I can say to you, and you will see it yourself, if they see a break, if they see room, they're gone for it.
And for your members, you know, how difficult is it to navigate a road, or how stressful is it with people weaving in suddenly in front of a large artic?
It's unbelievably stressful for our drivers, because we find that people rocket up beside us, swerve in front of us, and the next thing to jam on the brakes. And our trucks takes longer to stop than a car.
So are you looking for alternative routes now, apart, you know, to get off the M50? Do you find yourself covering more miles in order to find a more free-flowing route, or do they even exist?
We do. We find that there's some of our members coming from Naas up across Trumannoose and trying to come into Dublin that way. So in the morning time, we have an office in Bracetown, which is the far side of Blanchardstown. In the morning time, if I'm coming up from Portlaoise to the office in Bracetown, and I put into Google Maps the office in Bracetown, 9 times out of 10, it brings me up Trumannoose.
All right. Thanks very much, Ger. That's Ger Hyland there, president of the IRHA. That's the Road Haulers Association. And earlier we spoke to Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent.
And we've been getting some texts in on the M50. One listener says, drivers on the M50 and N7, M7 using the middle lane while the inside lane is empty are the cause of many accidents with no guard the checks, says one listener. Another one here, more people come into the country and thousands of new properties built around and in Dublin means more traffic on roads, way more volume, more crashes, and it's going to get worse, says that listener. 51551 for your text there. Coming up, Maduro on trial. One of Trump's former ambassadors to Denmark joins us. Plus, calls for Ireland to follow the UK's lead on junk food advert ban.